Okay.
Okay. Thanks for coming to this meeting. How are we doing on our remote? We have some ideas and some ideas for what people want.
Yes, I'm well. Doing well. How's that support going?
All right, let's just go over the agenda real quick for this meeting, see if I can't get things moving along here a little bit better. I'll go over what we went over last time, which shouldn't take long. Then I believe each of you have a presentation. I was sent a couple more requirements for our remote, for what they want. Then we can come to a conclusion on what we want the remote to do, and how it's going to do it, hopefully. And then we'll have the closing, which we'll have 40 minutes for. Let's see, the last meeting, we went over who was responsible for what. I'm responsible for leading the meetings, keeping the notes, and coming up with the final presentation. Corinne is our marketing expert. She's going to figure out what the consumer wants. Ryan is our user interface designer, and Manuel is the industrial designer. So you're going to come up with the ideas, Ryan, and you're going to pick them apart. Like I said, our remote, we want it to be a universal remote that everyone would want. We want it to be modern, fun, different. It needs to be sturdy, easy to find, so we can have that locator function. And we want it to be different. And then we went over a couple of different ideas, the ball-shaped phone, the keyboard shape. We decided that it should probably be one-handed, something we use with one hand. And that was our last meeting. So, why don't, do each of you have a presentation?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll hand it off to you, and does anyone want to go first?
Yeah.
We can see what the people want.
What was it, function?
Faint.
My report, which is going to be based pretty much on a survey that I have sent. Oh gosh, I'm not.
Okay. Just press the arrow key.
Okay. Sorry, I actually mean to see something else on my screen.
Hit that bit again.
Yeah. And then again.
You want to be on both screens? Or
no,
just
I want
just
something else. Is that possible?
Yeah, but I think you have to hit escape. And then you can. Yeah.
Okay, but now you don't have that.
Oh, hit escape.
Sorry.
I know, it's. And then it should come up pretty shortly.
Is there no way I can give you the slideshow?
I think, oh, there's the slideshow and something on your screen?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure, you may have minimized that screen and then had them both up at the same time.
Okay, so first of all, the method that I used was by doing some marketing research, by doing research on some interviews that were conducted, and then some internet research. And I was sent a report that was, I think there were 100 remote users that I interviewed. And so I will show you some of the results from that, which I think will be helpful. Okay, here are some of the findings. They said that the users dislike the look and feel of their current remote controls. And 75% of the users find their remote controls to be ugly, which is a fairly significant number, I would say. And 80% of the users would be willing to spend more money if they could get a remote that would look fancy. So I think that earlier we were on something, we were talking about having it be a modern, cool look. I think that's definitely important. They say the current remote controls do not match well the operating behavior of the user. 75% of users said they zap a lot. And if anyone could clarify what that means. Zap? Does that just mean like something
just
in the
camera?
And 50% of the users say that they're only using 10% of the buttons on their remote control. And there was something else. They kept track of the frequency per hour in using certain buttons. And some of them, it looks like, barely need to be included at all. Of course, channel selection is used the most frequently. And then teletext was the next. Volume, and then power. And then audio settings and screen settings and channel settings were practically never used. So I think we could definitely eliminate or somehow combine a lot of the functions into one button. The biggest user frustrations, as we said, 50% of people find that their remotes are lost somewhere. And so I think a tracking device of some sort would be a good idea. They said it takes 34% said it takes too much time to learn how to use a new remote. And 26% said that the controls are bad for RSI.
That's the exchange.
What is it?
It's the best exchange, I think.
Okay.
So I guess.
Okay. And so base, oh, okay. As far as speech recognition goes, the younger group looks like they're all for it. From the 15 to 25 age group, over 90% said they would pay more. And it kind of just went down incrementally. The groups, the older they get, it looks like the less willing they are to pay. So maybe we could discuss this and think, decide if we think it's worth investing in this, at least if we're targeting the younger groups. And so, in conclusion, some things that I drew from this are that I think we were correct. We definitely need to focus on a new modern appearance since so many people seem to be concerned about the ugliness of the remote control. A multifunctional remote could be a good thing to explore so you only have one rather than five different remotes sitting all over your room. We need to simplify the remote and reduce the number of buttons, get rid of the ones that don't seem to be serving much purpose. And then lastly, I thought that maybe we could discuss the idea of speech recognition. And that's it.
Okay. Very nice. Now we actually have some ideas of what people want, what we should focus on.
Sorry, did you guys get time to write everything that you needed?
Having just listened to what Corey just said, I'll draw on some of the things as well. There's some things that sort of relevant to what I want to say. Okay, so I'm just going to approach the technical function The method I used was to explore the technical functions of a remote control, and the simplest approach I came to is to change, program, and operate an electronic device remotely. I mean, that's an obvious thing to say, but it's not attached to the device that you want to control. I had some things sent to me, not very much, to look at similar devices, findings from them, and then personal preferences that I would suggest. We discussed the universal one. It's just been brought up again then, but I think the universal remote control is actually quite a difficult object to design, and possibly within maybe the budget that we do, because you need to know all the specifications of all the like electronic companies. I'm not sure if you ever come across a universal remote control yourself, but you have to, they're a nightmare to use. You have to set them, reset them to everything, and that would only add buttons, whereas I think the aim is to take away buttons. So I think it's better maybe to concentrate on maybe it's a universal one for TVs, or maybe just one that you could design, and then different people, manufacturers, could use it to set their specifications if the aim is to get something that's unique in design. Okay, here's just two pictures of remote controls. They're just simple TV remote controls. But one is user-centered, that is the one on the left. And you can straight away see there's less buttons. And the other one is some engineer-centered, where that's more specified fully, sort of elaborate piece of equipment it's trying to control. And that's which appeals more to the problem that we want, and on what the findings have said in the market research and stuff. We're probably looking at something that should be user-centered, fewer buttons, simple to use, and if 10% is hidden away, if 10% is what's used, maybe the other 50%, the buttons that are used very rarely, like programming, they could be hidden, maybe under some remote controls you might come across, and maybe a little flick thing where they're hidden away, and the main buttons are the ones you come across. And finally, sort of covered that, our product I think should be used interface orientated. Like I said, to concentrate on TV control, a universal mode might be too complex. And as what the major findings of the market research have said, it's the image and the appearance that people dislike, so that we should concentrate on something that could set a trend and change the fashion of remote controls. And that's it.
What was your last conclusion on that one? Focus
on the image of it.
Okay, I'm going to talk to you about the working design. The interiors, basically, which is what dictates the design, both the interface, basically, and the outer appearance, because this is all the stuff that needs to go in there. Right? So, unfortunately, the people who are supposed to do this little presentation for me, obviously, were too drunk to actually accomplish it, so I'm going to do lots of the stuff on the board. This is the basic basic premise of a remote control. The basic function is to send messages to another system. Okay, so much is clear. An energy source feeds an integrated circuit, a chip that can compose messages, often in the form of infrared bits. This is the mostly used. There's also some sound systems, but infrared is the better, the more used system. It's a chip as well. A user interface controls the chip and accordingly the messages. This is where my people screwed up, basically. So I'm going to explain that on the board color. What we have is different components that obviously need to go in there. We'll start with an energy source. Just usually a battery, since it's not feasible to, and a cable to that. This energy source, of course, is connected to the user interface itself, which can be buttons, whatever, which in fact controls a chip. Interface and the chip. The way this goes normally is that this chip then controls an infrared MEM that sends out the signal. Of course, the signal differs accordingly, depending on what the chip tells the infrared MEM then, and of course that's controlled. The chip itself is controlled by the user interface. What you normally do is that you add a little device such as a LAN to the whole thing as well, so that you know that it's working. Basically, if you press something, you get a response, which is also comparatively important on those devices. Now, this what we're talking about here, or what I think should be discussed, are these two components mostly, the energy source, for one thing, can be altered. What we probably cannot alter is, of course, the infrared, the sending device, basically the infrared mask. We cannot change the chip, which controls the infrared lamp. Right, these two are components that we have to use, and these are dictated by the whole function of the whole thing. The van can be put on to the device. It doesn't have to be there. This can be discussed as well. The user interface is something we can also discuss. As we've heard, speech recognition is the hype, obviously, in the moment. Speech recognition, interface, we don't know that, or if we just do the usual button thing, or we have a touchpad or something like that. That's something we can discuss. And of course, energy source, batteries, solar cells, who knows? Of course, it's always a question whether these components are, in fact, available, cheap enough, healthy. That's I suppose not much marketing.
So we can
to the industrial design.
The more complex we make it, of course, the more
expensive it's going to be.
Yeah. But people have said that they would, younger generations of people said that they would pay more for a speech recognition remote. So possibly it might be worth the investment.
I think speech recognition is one of those things where they have to be really good for them to work. Sometimes you find yourself just saying things over and over and over on your phone.
I agree.
And you need to sort of take into like languages and then different dialects as well.
Myself, I find when there's something that's speech recognition, like you call on the phone and you try to change your telephone or power or something, sometimes they have a speech recognition on the other end. say one for this, and you find yourself, like you said, saying the same thing over and over and over, I find myself, especially if I'm in a crowd of people, looking really silly.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're sitting on your couch with a bunch of people, then.
Which I don't know if would you want to keep saying stuff if you're watching stuff. If you're watching something, would you sort of you want to
volume up, volume down,
yeah.
change the channel, you know, channel up, channel down? I don't know.
Another thing about these figures is 91% of the youngest age group said they'd do it, but probably a lot of them, that's actually their parents' money. Like, I don't know if they would actually go and purchase this. This is also 15-year-old, you know?
As well, like, the gimmick factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a gimmick factor that they like at first. And
yeah.
Gets a little bit.
Okay, let's see here.
Can I put your call back?
Now, I was sent a couple of things to modify our new requirements. The remote's only going to be for the television, which is good because we already decided, your research showed that not only is universal remote more complicated, it's more costly, and your research showed that, you know, most of the people don't even use it. I think
Scott,
you said 50% of the people only use half the, or 10% of the buttons. So if we remove the universal remote, then that solves that problem. No teletext. So we don't have to worry about that. But we do have to use, the company wants us to incorporate the corporate color and our slogan, which is we put the fashion in electronics. And our corporate colors are gray and yellow. And we could probably get away with black too. So those are the three new requirements that I was told we need to use. From all three of your presentations, I think that we were on the right track a lot in our last meeting. We want something that looks good. We want something that's simple. We want something that you can find easily. The speech recognition, I guess, is kind of a give or take. It's going to cost more. The younger people say that they like it, but it's probably, I would say, probably not worth the investment at this point in time. So maybe we should just do away with speech recognition. And that way we can focus on our form.
I did have a thought about the sort of the tracking thing. Is that it became maybe a holster, whatever you want to call it, that you should put it back in the remote. If you don't put it back in, you press the remote and it's supposed to go on that, and that just sort of sends out a beep to find where it is or something. Just I infrared, that shouldn't be too complex.
That'd be good if we were going with our ball.
Yeah, it would be quite good.
Or with, you know, I guess with any form that would be good. You know, that could be the charger for,
yeah.
You know, use for chargeable batteries in the remote, and that would be for solar or, you know, however you want to go about it. The holder could also be the charging unit.
Yeah.
With the locator button. And if it were the ball, you'd no longer have to have a flat space on it.
Yeah.
Well, you still have to
hold on to it. And
yeah, you put it on the couch table while you're watching.
Yeah.
It's
going
to
roll away.
So that's not an issue.
So I guess after the meeting, we'll have some questionnaires and some summaries for what's going on. Then we'll take lunch, and we can come back and work on our individual work. Minutes. Let's see. It looks like you're already on your way for working with the components. Chips, what chips we need and what how to power it and whatnot. User interface concept, we want it to be something simple.
Yep.
Minimal number of buttons. I guess our main thing that we should focus on until then is probably deciding on a certain look.
Yeah.
Did you have time earlier to work on that? Did you guys feel you had enough time in between the meetings to get everything done that you need to get done?
I'll try and find a little surveyors for the next break. I do still think it needs to be someone that is ultimately one-handed, ball coming out of there again, even someone that's held like that might be difficult. So I think it starts to be a variation on maybe on the rectangle, but maybe not necessarily falling as plain as a rectangle.
Should we maybe shoot for a specific target group? That way we could, I mean, if we were shooting for young guys, then it's a certain look to the remote, or girls, or older people. You think that would help us find a specific one that we would want to pick out?
I don't know if that might come up. Might be chain watching. I don't. You'll find anything more on that.
Yeah, not yet, but maybe by the next meeting we'll have something to put on that.
So, we know that the remote's gonna have to be, just say we've got a color scheme for it.
Yeah.
Yellow and, yellow, it's nice and bright, with the buttons being gray or black, and our slogan pasted somewhere on it, on the bottom or,
Bottom half, yeah.
Maybe we could sketch. So basically, all of our typical remotes now are just kind of a rectangular sort. Maybe we could flare it or something, so it's more. Of course, this will look like a bone then.
Trend of like things like mobile phones and shapes that they're leaving and
Yeah.
you go from big quick block things which will be your remote controllers to sort of slinky smaller phones.
Yeah, everybody's got a mobile phone, right? Except for me now. But they are all, mobile phones, which may defeat our purpose for being able to locate our remote all the time.
Right.
But then again, you don't want, you know, like the first mobile phone that was this big and you had a handbag to carry it around in. So we've got basically what remotes look like now. It's kind of what we're stuck with. Maybe we could go with a square or something. You know, with minimal number of buttons. I guess you got, you know, 1 through 9. Typing in your channels. You've got volume up and down, channel up and down,
power.
That's
the class.
That's pretty much all you need, I think. A menu button, maybe. So, you know, if we want the remote to do other things like, or I guess the TV to be able to change the tint and the color and, you know, all those kind of things that are built into TVs, we just have that under one standard. Menu button where you go in, press the menu button, scroll up and down to select it.
Yeah.
Talking of which, maybe scrolling function is not too bad.
Okay. So
talk about maybe look at that from the side. Square from the looks of it, then maybe possible to hold the whole thing and hold the bulge down here, which maybe from an engineering point could be holding the batteries and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
From
mm-hmm.
Look at it from the side.
Yeah.
Maybe you bring the buttons nearer to the, or the important part of the buttons nearer to the
thumb
side.
The thumb, yeah. Maybe the buttons could like decrease in size. The bigger ones,
yeah.
They have to be bigger in size than the ones that are less important, smaller here.
You can also maybe, talking about mobile phones again, sliding volume.
Yeah.
With the lesser used functions
behind
or the slides into that part.
So I've just been sketching something so weird, just like on a sort of side view. Something that, you know, sort of fit in the hand as a, you know, sort of happy hand.
Of course, just thinking, this of course causes a problem for left or right handed people. Actually.
Yeah, that's also true. That instantly is always going for the right hand person.
Right.
But I mean, it's the old. So
yeah, is everyone who in here is right-handed, left-handed?
Right.
I guess all right.
Yeah.
So, I'm left-handed, but I can say that most things are designed for right-handed people. That's not like the written language or English.
Maybe you could buy like a special left-handed version.
Maybe.
Special order.
I would say, I mean, it should be probably designed for right-handed. But that's good. I think we've got kind of a good plan there. At least for what buttons we're going to use. like the scroll action and the.
I mean, I'm just thinking maybe if it was a circular, that sort of early idea we had, the way that was more like that. Whereas this is just a one-handed thing, you sort of almost wrap around the thumb, so you'd have it, you put your hand into the thumb there. Thumb, you know, almost sort of around here, and that I think could work.
Yeah.
On any hand.
Kind of like holding it.
If you just have it like that on the left or right.
It minimizes its size while it's.
Minimizes its size, you know, really quite small.
Then there's maybe another point of making it a 2-in-1. If we have a smaller device that actually fits into the big one, give full functions up here and just a couple of functions in there.
Yeah.
Like your zapping device that's just channels up, down, volume, and on, off. That's it.
Yeah,
maybe.
So two remotes in one, but then would be easier to lose one for the other.
That's right. It means the big one has to be sufficiently big and perhaps heavy so you can't move it around. Make it a piece of furniture.
It actually is your coffee table.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, we need to finish up here. So for the next, before the next meeting, shall we work on your watching trends to see what kind of new information we've got going on? Manuel, you're going to work on the components for what we're going to use. Let's go with our rounded, kind of fit in your hand. Let's explore the possibility of having a two-piece, so one for the quick zapping, and possibly one, you know, with just that rounded part that fits into your hand. And Ryan, you work on how well they'll work with the user, so both of those concepts. And okay, I think we made some good progress here.
Right.
See you in, I don't know, I guess we'll take lunch in about half an hour, or I guess we'll be taking lunch shortly, and then about half an hour after that we'll probably have another meeting.
All right.
Okay.